what a wonderful passage there for us to reflect on this morning. I want to talk about today, you are anointed to win. You are anointed to win. Touch that person next to you. Tell them you are anointed to win. That's it. Now, this message really is not for your neighbor. It's for you. So won't you touch yourself and say, I am anointed to win. To win. To win. And please help me with the baby. But I want us to really hear this word today, because even as I was in prayer, the Lord sent me here to the book of Zechariah. And as I was reading it, he spoke a word that was not just for me personally, but he says this is something, a deposit that he is releasing into our church. You are anointed to win. We find this awesome story written by this minor prophet of God, Zechariah. And the fact that it's a minor prophet does not mean that his work was minor. It just means that the relativity or the size of his work compared to that of some of the major writings in the Old Testament is somewhat minor. And although Zechariah comes from a lineage of preachers, his dad was a prophet, his granddad was a prophet, his ministry is very important to those in the nation of Israel, and even, as we would see, to many of us today. He was sent to Israel, my brothers and sisters, as raised as a prophet in a very, very critical time in her history. Unlike Moses, who was sent to the nation of Israel in her inception, when God formed her as a nation and drove her or pulled her or delivered her out of Egypt, Zechariah was sent on a different plane. Even unlike that of Joshua, who led the children into the conquest of the promised land, and even unlike that of David and Solomon, who presided over Israel who presided over Israel in their prominence when they had the great temple that was built and the nation was established in the earth. Zechariah finds himself dealing with a different climate, a different setting, a different time in the history of this nation. He's sent during a time when they was in a desperate state trying to rebuild. After being the crown jewel of all the nations and the apple of God's eye, Israel found themselves again at the bottom. God, many of you know the story, he had done so much for them. He had allowed them to rise to national prominence. He had loved them. He had committed himself to them. You remember he told them, you are going to be my people and I am going to be your God. He provided miracles during times of desperation and times of need. He provided comfort for them when they were scared, even in their infancy when they didn't think that they can beat Jericho and they couldn't win all of these various battles that they had to fight. God was right there with them, ensuring victory unto them. They became prosperous. They had influence. Everybody began to respect Israel as a prominent nation because they knew one thing was certain about this particular nation: the Lord was with them. That nobody could deny that their history, where they came from, and all the stuff that they had to persevere against, and all the things that they had to overcome to get to where they were, nobody would dare take the credit. They would just say, to God be the glory for the wonderful things that he has done, because God did something supernatural in the lives of those of the nation of Israel. But my brothers and sisters, the blessings that God had given to them began to destroy them slowly. Blessings, my brothers and sisters, can blind us if we are not grounded. Some of you, I just want to know, can you stand to be blessed? Can you handle promotion? Can you handle prosperity? Can you handle it when God begins to elevate you? Because you think being broke is something. Man, try being blessed. Being blessed is a whole nother level of warfare, because they slowly deteriorated into a very arrogant, a very high-minded, a very too good for God type of people. After all that God had done for them, God had brought them out. He had crossed them over. He had promoted them. He had elevated them. He had anointed anointed them, but then their blessings began to be cursings upon them. And I just want to stop right there and let many of you know that you got to be very, very careful when God starts elevating you, not to forget who's the one that's controlling your life. And that's what happened to them. After all that God did for them, they begin to relapse. They begin to think that it was their own might, that it was their own strength, that they were the ones that was with them in college, and they were the ones that healed their own bodies, and they were the ones that opened up their own doors. And they begin to calcify into this very, very arrogant type of people who say, I don't really need God. You know, I believe that he is there, but God don't control everything. And God sent them into bondage. Not because of their sin, and this is just my personal opinion. He didn't send them into bondage because they had sin, because God understands that we were shaped in iniquity and we were born into sin. But I believe they were released into bondage because, watch this now, because of the hardness of their heart, because of the arrogance of their mind. And if it's one thing that God cannot stand, it's an arrogant child. It's somebody that don't even know they not pulling the strings in their own life. Oh, it disgusts me to see people walking around as if they all that in a bag of chips, like they are the one where the sun shines upon them. No, indeed, brother. I want to let you know, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, and the reason why God is letting you continue in your foolishness is because he's patient with you. He's saying one day he gonna wake up, one day she's gonna recognize, one day they're gonna be able to see that it's me that's pulling the strings in their lives. And so God says, okay, since y'all don't want to learn, since y'all, you think that I'm going to let you carry on like this, he sent them into bondage. And he didn't do it because he hated them. He didn't do it because he was mad at them. But it was just like my daddy when he used to put me across that bed. He used to say, Dennis, I'm not doing this because I hate you, but I'm doing it because I love you. I thank God that he loves me enough not to let me destroy myself. He loves me enough that he'll pull some things back from me when he see I'm going in the wrong direction. And some of you, I know you only rejoice when doors are open, but I thank God that he closed some doors for me. I thank God that he put a governor on my life, and he won't let me travel too fast, and he won't let me get too much too soon, because God understands that blessings will burden you down sometime. And after all that they had accomplished, after all that they had experienced, God took it away. And they lost it, but for a season. Oh, you missed your clapping part right there. They lost it, but for a season. Because God told them, he says, watch this, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace to give you a future and to give you a hope. I'm telling somebody in here today, what you're going through is but for a season. Oh, I don't know who that's for today. I know. And some of you would have to admit, sometimes God, watch this, put them into bondage. But even while they were in bondage, they were the anointed of God. Even while they were in bondage, they were the chosen of God. Even while they were struggling and while they were going through what they were going through, they were still the children of God. Why? Because God says, even though you in this state, I don't disown you. But I'll put you through some things just to let you know you need to get yourself straight. And the Bible says that they were in bondage for 70 years. For 70 years, they were in bondage there in Babylon because God says, I'm going to put this king Nebuchadnezzar over your life, and he's going to be a hard taskmaster. Oh, God. And sometimes God will tie your money up for a season just to get you to reflect on the true source of your life. So sometimes God will tie your opportunities up just for a season to get you. Watch this. You know why they really had to go in for 70 years? Because some people actually died in bondage. And I heard the Lord tell me yesterday that he'll send us through certain things just so some things can die in our lives. Oh, Lord, that he'll put you into certain seasons of your life just so some things in you can die. And I want to ask you today, what is the Lord trying to kill in you? Is he trying to kill your arrogance? Is he trying to kill your pride? Is he trying to kill your will so that his will can come alive? Because you do know that as people of God, we understand that when we lose our life, we really gain our life. And when you try to hold on to your life, that's when you really lose your life. And God is saying, I'll put you in a situation until some stuff just dies. Mm-hmm. You ever been there before? Yeah. God is saying, nope, you ain't coming out until you die. You ain't coming out until you bow down. You not coming out until you recognize. Elbow your neighbor and say, you better recognize. I know all of y'all, you ain't lived long enough to be in that season with God. I'm talking about when you praying and nothing happens because God says, nope, you ain't ready yet. When you in the fire and you saying, God, get me out. God says, nope, you not ready yet, because he will leave you in the fire until you come out as pure gold. So they were in bondage for 70 years, but I thank God that the time came for their bondage to be over. And that's a rejoicing thing, comforting thing to us, that the God we serve, he will not put more upon you than what you are able to bear. Oh, no. I know you think you was going to go under. You thought that your life was going to be over. But no, God says, I'm watching you. I'm monitoring your burdens. I'm watching your afflictions. And at the prescribed time, you're going to be released from that. At the prescribed time, you're going to be delivered for that. Oh, God. And he's telling somebody in this room today, don't give up too soon. Mm-hmm. Because God is guarding you and guiding you with his eyes. So the bondage didn't last forever. And this speaks of God's rich mercy to us. It speaks to his everlasting grace that he extends towards us, that even when it was our fault, even when we were the ones who did wrong, even when we were the ones who smoked that and slept there and did that kind of stuff, God says, I'll put you in bondage just for a season. He says, but when that season is over, I'll make a way out. Oh, God. Does anybody know that God is a way-making God in this room today? That he'll make a way out of your ignorance, a way out of your foolishness, a way out of what you're going through? He says, but you got to humble yourself. So what the Lord did was he set them free again from this rule of Babylon. And this is where we kind of pick up here in this text, because they are now set free, but they've been in bondage for so long. they've been losing for so long, now trying to rebuild a life of significance, trying to rebuild a life of substance with God is very challenging. And I'm not sure, my brothers and sisters, if there's anybody in this room today who knows the rigors of trying to reestablish yourself. I don't know if any of you have ever been in this season of your life when you are trying to reestablish yourself, to rebuild yourself, because rebuilding can be very, very challenging. I'm talking about when you've lost some things and now you're in pursuit of trying to do it again or reestablish yourself again or restore yourself again. It can be very, very challenging. It not just challenging on you physically, but it can be challenging to your mind. It can mess with your psyche. It can mess with everything that's going on in your life, because rebuilding can be a very, very crazy thing. And this is where they found themselves. And many of you in this room today, you're just like they were. You're trying to rebuild. You're trying to put some stuff back together again. You're trying to pick up the pieces of something that once was but is now shattered. And God is saying, watch this. He is saying, you can do it. He's rooting you on. But you're saying, God, I don't understand how. You may be trying to recover again after a divorce. You may be trying to reestablish trust in a marriage because you have experienced a devastation in your marriage, and now trust is trying to be restored and love is gone out the window. And that kind of stuff can mess with your mind. Oh, I wish I had some people in here that you're trying to reestablish your career, that you've been doing this all your life, and now the your career has hit a brick wall and you're trying to put it all back together again. That can be challenging when you're in unfamiliar areas. We don't have to look far for this, because many of us, we could just look down the road at New Orleans. That after Hurricane Katrina, it was psychological as people had to pick up the pieces of their life and put it back together again. It was more than just rebuilding a house, but it was trying to adjust to the things that wasn't the same anymore. It was trying to deal with seeing all of this loss, seeing all of these broken pieces, and trying to pray that they come back together again. We saw the toll just a few days ago. Mayor Ray Nagin left office, and he was interviewed before he left. And they asked him, well, what is your future in politics? He says, I want to tell y'all forthrightly that my future in politics is none because I'm retiring due to health reasons. I'm sick of the people and the people are sick of me. Because when you're trying to restore, when you're trying to reestablish, it can take a toll on you. People start vexing your nerves and you don't understand why they just can't get it and get with the program. It takes a strong person to endure the weight that must be lifted to get your life back together again. And there's some of you in this room today, you're going through your personal Katrina right now. You're saying, I'm trying to get this thing back together. I'm trying to get my health back in line after God had to heal me. I'm trying to get my relationship with my children back together after time apart. And when you're going through rebuilding, it can play tricks on your mind. I wish I had a witness in this place again, because you never thought you would be at this point. You never thought this could happen to you. You never thought God would let this come in your life. And God said it has happened, but now you gotta rebuild. Now you gotta pick back up again. Now you gotta say it happened, is in my past, and now I gotta move on, because rebuilding can be challenging. Do I have a witness in this place again? And this type of trauma is so real, my brothers and my sisters, because it's so much pain. And I don't care if you come to church and you dressed up and you lifting your hands. You know the pain that it takes when you saying, God, I'm trying to reestablish a relationship with you again. Because pain can be a strange company keeper. Pain can play with your mind. If Ghetto Boys is here, they'll say to have you looking over your shoulder and peeping around corners because pain will play with your mind. Pain will have you looking at the pieces of your life saying you ain't going to never get that back together again. You ain't going to never have the money you used to have. You ain't going to never begin to get that house back and that career back together. But I come in this place as a modern Zachariah to let somebody know you are anointed to win. You are anointed to recover. You are anointed to get it back together again. Slap somebody and tell them you are anointed to get it back. I said, that was a wrong person. They ain't say nothing to you. Move out of your seat, slap somebody else. Tell them you anointed to get it back. I know the Bible says everything that you lost, God is going to give it back to you, and he's going to give it back to you 100-fold. I'm trying to encourage somebody in here today. God says you're going to get it back again. That's just for the folks who done lost some stuff. That's just for some people who done been through some rough waters over these last few years. That's just for somebody who is saying, God, you got to say something. And so this was the atmosphere that Zechariah was sent into. That Zechariah was raised in such a time as this to encourage the people. And I like it because Zechariah's ministry was a ministry of encouragement. I thank God because there's some seasons in my life, and I'm not unteachable, but and I'm not arrogant, and I'm not stubborn-headed, but there's some seasons in my life where I just need to be encouraged. I don't need no preacher fussing at me. I don't need nobody putting their finger in the face and telling me this is going to happen. No, some season I'm like, man, you don't know all the hell I'm going through. You don't know what's coming against my mind. Can I just get some encouragement when I come to the house of the Lord? Can you just uplift me? Can you tell me weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning? Sometimes I just need to be encouraged. Is there anybody in here to say, I just need to be encouraged? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I need a little push in the back. I need a little confirmation. And that's why I'm in church today, because I just come saying, God, it's raining outside, but I need a word to encourage my heart. And I want to let somebody know in here today, you can make it through this. So Zechariah is there to tell him, encourage him that despite what you're going through, despite what you're dealing with, despite what you have done and what has been done to you, you anointed to win. That's what Zechariah is telling him. He's saying, despite everything that has happened to you, you are anointed to win. Oh boy, somebody said, I'm anointed to win. That's it, because some people in this room, you've been experiencing defeat for so long, you don't even know where winning is. But God told me, a winning anointing is upon your life. A new anointing is upon your life. A surviving anointing is upon your life. And so he was sent, Zechariah was, he was sent very specifically to this nation as the prophet.